First Look continues on News Talk 99.7 WNTK. I'm John Stewart, and it's time to visit with Mike Armstrong from the Financial Exchange, whom you hear every weekday at 10. Morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks, John.
Inflation has reared its ugly head in many, many ways, and looks like that seems to be continuing.
Yeah, we continue to see, you know, big inflation data, really, you know, 5+% inflation year over year with a number of different goods showing significantly hotter inflation. So, you know, you go take a look at used car prices up 21% year over year. I think that's a story that everyone is familiar with at this point. But even the grocery store, you know, we've been covering stories over the last couple of weeks about, you know, how grocers are packing that inflation into your receipt. And grocery stores, I got to tell you, in terms of passing higher costs to consumers, there's nobody better at it than grocery stores. They very rarely actually raise prices. What they'll do is they'll, you know, put a smaller container together for the same price, or, you know, what they'll do is they'll raise prices on items that you don't buy every week, right? Like, you know, I've got three young kids. We go through a few gallons of milk every week. So they don't want to raise prices on that because I'll notice. Instead, they'll go and raise the price on buttermilk or heavy cream, something that I don't buy very often, and I won't really notice that price hike. But yeah, we're seeing it across the board, but investors right now seem to be signaling. So we look at something called the break-even rate, which is a bond indicator to tell us where consumers believe inflation will be, you know, further out, 5 years from now, because that's what really matters. And the expectation right now, according to those markets, seems to be the inflation numbers calming down a little bit from where we are today, not, you know, not going back to where we were in the early 2010s after the Great Recession, but, you know, moderating to that 2 to 2.5% level. We're going to be talking about that indicator and just, you know, whether or not it really is any good at predicting future inflation rates, I think, is the important question here. You know, it's great to see that, okay, yeah, investors are saying inflation's going to calm down, but historically, have they ever been right with that indicator is also important.
Well, as you said before, nobody really has a crystal ball to understand this, but it stands to reason because the inflation was sort of caused by all of the various things that upset our economy as a result of the COVID. So as it stands to reason, as things ease with that, perhaps maybe the inflation will too. But as you said,
yeah,
no guarantee.
No doubt. I think the counter argument would be, used cars and pork prices. I agree. You know, that can't really continue to climb at these paces. The question would be, you know, are we starting to see cost increases on things that really have a tougher time going down? So 2 points that I'll compare, right? Lumber prices. Lumber prices went through the roof. Everyone agreed it was ridiculous. Suddenly more supply came online. Lumber prices fell right back down and, you know, came back to a more moderate level. The same doesn't usually occur with wages, right? If you give your employee a raise to $15 an hour, whereas they were making $13 an hour previously, that employee is very rarely going to take a pay cut back down to $13 an hour. And so if you see that start to compound itself, that's where those price hikes tend to tend to be stickier than, say, the price of lumber.
Yeah, it's more about costs rather than the actual price of things.
Right. Right, absolutely.
Well, we touched on the subject of pork, and that was one of the things that I talked with you before we got online here, and that is I went to the supermarket, and whoa, pork chops that were like $4 a pack for two of them are now like $9 a pack.
Yeah, pretty wild. You know, we're seeing this type of inflation in a number of different areas. I don't know specifically what's going on with pork prices, but another pork story coming out of the state of California, they had passed a new law it was not a legislative act, I believe it was a ballot measure to require any suppliers providing pork to the state to have, you know, pretty significant changes to how they treat their animals. Applied to veal, chickens, as well as pork. The veal and chicken suppliers have said it won't really be a problem to comply, but the pork producers are basically throwing their hands in the air and saying, you know, most of us cannot comply with this, and there could be a bacon shortage in California. So far, only 4% of pork suppliers to California have said they'll be able to comply by January 1st. You know, it's interesting. Massachusetts did something similar to this on the chicken side, I think last year, And, you know, you looked at Massachusetts and said, okay, well, you know, chicken suppliers aren't really going to, you know, bend their backs to comply with something from Massachusetts. But in the case of California, you know, they consume 15% of the nation's pork supply. So it'll be very interesting to see if these two groups go head to head, whether the pork suppliers or the state of California will end up blinking here. It'll be very interesting.
Yeah. Well, another thing that we did touch on earlier is the automobile market. Right now, if you got a used car that's in decent shape or even one that's not in decent shape, it's in demand.
Yeah, hot commodity. We've seen a few analysts at this point, you know, experts in the used vehicle and new vehicle market now, pointing towards indications that they say, hey, we might have peaked in terms of used vehicle prices. An analyst at Sonic Automotive, again, you know, just a company that really covers this industry, has said, yeah, well, prices are up 21% year over year. So the average transaction for a used car, about $25,000 in the second quarter compared to $23,000 in the first quarter. You know, huge, huge inflation. But they are seeing indications that, you know, according to them and according to conversations with the new vehicle manufacturers, that they are expecting during the second half of this year for supply to come back online, for dealerships to finally have some supply in their lots, which should relieve some pressure on used vehicles. I don't think that means that used vehicle prices are going back to where they were pre-pandemic, but perhaps alleviating a little bit of that pressure and at least putting more supply on the lots.
Well, one of the things people will want is once those new cars are available, they'll want to buy them. I mean, that's demand suddenly gets spurred once they're there.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a study the other day that showed 40% of shoppers out there for new vehicles right now are willing to pay $5,000 more than MSRP to get the vehicle that they want. So the demand side is a little bit of lunacy right now in terms of people wanting those vehicles. But nonetheless, I think the vehicle makers know it exists, and they also know it's kind of a once-in-a-generation type of opportunity when there is this much cash and demand floating around here. They desperately want to fill those lots to make those sales.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of sales and deals, Zoom has reached a settlement in their lawsuit.
They have, yes. So there was a lawsuit brought against Zoom, and it really has to do with, you know, a few terms that we've become pretty familiar with at this point. Have you ever heard of the term Zoom bombing, where somebody's able to just enter a Zoom meeting uninvited and do all sorts of different stuff? Or, you know, early on in the Zoom days, we remember when the Zoom meetings were allegedly supposed to be, you know, quite secure, but it turned out really were not, and Zoom had, you know, made some pretty misleading statements about just how secure these meetings were. Well, they've reached an $85 million settlement with the plaintiffs, and anybody that has subscription to Zoom could be looking at, I think it's either $15 or 25% of their annual subscription amount, whichever is higher. Not a huge amount being reimbursed to consumers, but nonetheless a settlement with that company over some privacy allegations.
Yeah, well, it's certainly something to make up for some of these other costs that we've had.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt, a lot of new costs.
Yeah. Well, Mike, thanks for joining us, and we'll be looking forward to the show at 10.
Talk to you next week, John. Thanks.
All right. And Mike will be with us at 10 a.m. this morning, as he is every weekday morning right here on News Talk 99.7 WNTK and WUVR 98.9 FM 1490 AM. I'm John Stewart. This is First Look, and there's more to come, so stick with us.